meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. But we started in the garden talking about the soil a long time ago, and good soil produces fruit. And we're going to end in the graveyard with temperance, but we started in the garden. And so one thing I've noticed about these fruits, there's nine aspects of the singular, the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you think about the first three, and this isn't set in stone, it's just something I've noticed. I've read other commentators, and they, not that I'm a commentator, but they've noticed, and it's the first three, love, joy, peace, upward, kind of my relationship with the Lord, right? And then you have long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, that's outward, how I deal with the world and those around me. And then you have faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are inward, kind of your fortitude and your makeup and how you see the world and kind of your worldview, if you would. Faith, meekness, temperance. And so inward things. And so now we're on faith. Okay? Faith is an enormous subject. And we can't plumb the depths of it all today, but we're going to touch on some of it and try to understand what faith is and how faith works. So, what is faith? Number one, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's what it is, but that verse takes a long time to understand. And every year that you come back to this verse, and every time you study it more and more, you will get more understanding over this verse. But here's the dictionary definition, and we'll go into this a little. Faith means to persuade, to draw towards something, to conciliate, to believe, to obey. The sense of the verb is like a rope, which is tying you to something, to draw you to something, to bind and make fast. A cable that is made fast to something. See, our faith makes us fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is belief. Look, keep your hand here, but look in John chapter 20 and verse 27. And I think the Lord defines the word faith for us here. John chapter 20 and verse 27, don't lose your place, we're coming back. It says this, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. So belief is the opposite of unfaith, or of not having faith. Belief is faith. You believe something. See, Thomas at this point didn't believe that Jesus was really risen from the dead. And he said, no, here's the evidence. Be not faithless, but believing. So faith is belief, and it has to rest in truth. For you to have faith in something, you have to believe that is true. And if it can stand the questions, the scrutiny, and the tests that are thrown up against it, if it holds up, you will have faith. We stop believing, or we stop having faith in something, when the accumulation of truth in our mind weighs more against something than for it. Here's an example. One time I had a guy that worked for me, and I asked him, and I said, can you speak Spanish? And he said, yes, I can speak Spanish. I've led someone to the Lord in Spanish. I used to work in a landscaping business, and you have to speak Spanish there. So, you know, I know Spanish. And so I had faith that he could speak Spanish. And so we had to go somewhere and talk to some people in Spanish, and I can't speak Spanish. I can order food in Spanish. Yo quiero uno taco, el gato con mantequilla, tortilla harina. But so that's about all I can do in Spanish. So Alberto was in the car with me, and I said, hey, this guy knows Spanish. Alberto knows Spanish, so why don't you talk a little and let me listen? And so Alberto starts to say some things, and then this guy starts mumbling and crawfishing, and I said, something's going wrong here. So I said, Alberto, ask him a question. And he asked him a question, And the guy had no idea. I knew what he was talking about more than this guy did that said he could speak Spanish. What happened at that point? I lost my faith. I stopped believing that he could speak Spanish because the evidence weighed more against it than for it. So faith is only as good as the object in which you put your faith in. We say we believe in God, and you know what lost people will say, or people that don't believe in God? They'll say, prove it. I don't believe. And that's not an unreasonable question. That's not an unreasonable thing to ask. But our faith is founded on a mountain of evidence that's bigger than this church. You see, there's all kinds of deities in mythology and folklore and in different tribes around the world, and they're called creator deities, where people say that this deity created the world. The Bible says God did. But you know the difference between their deities and our deity? The Lord Jesus Christ stepped into history, and he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And he said to those that did not believe, he that seen me had seen the Father, he said, I will give you 33 birthdays. I will do things that no man could do. I will let you beat me, whip me, put a crown of thorns on my head. I will let you nail me to the cross, kill me, put me in a tomb, and then I will rise again on the third day. You see, we have evidence. Our Creator, he stepped into history, and he gave us infallible, the Bible calls it infallible, or evidence that no man that is honest can deny that he was there. Now it says faith is the substance of things we hope for. We have faith and until the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into history, you know what? All we had before that is a testimony of other people like Abraham or people that knew the Lord. But then he stepped in and we had more evidence. And so in the Bible, they worshiped these other deities at times. One of them, his name was Baal, okay? And the children of Israel, they started to develop this question. Is it the Lord God of Israel or is it Baal? We don't know. And they started to have faith in Baal. And Elijah came and he did a test. You know the story. He brought all the prophets of Baal together on the mountain, and he said of sacrifice, and he said if Baal is real, then he'll be able to light this sacrifice on fire. And so they cried, oh Baal, hear us. They cried and they cut themselves, and guess what happened? Nothing. And so Elijah prayed, and the fire of the Lord came down and consumed that sacrifice, and all those people that were standing there watching that had the question, this is what they said. They fell on their face, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. What happened? Faith happened. Belief happened. The amount of evidence in God's column became much larger than the amount of evidence in the Baal column. So they stopped believing in Baal and started believing in the Lord. You cannot have faith in what you do not believe in. We have to understand that when we're witnessing to people. You cannot trust in Jesus if you do not believe in him. You cannot get saved if you do not believe in the truth that the Lord has set forth. You cannot have faith unless you believe in it. It's rested in belief. And you know what the Bible says? It says we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. And you know what people do? They try to prop their faith up and they try to keep it alive. And the more they try to keep it alive, the harder it falls, because you can't do anything against the truth, but for the truth. Now, that was a faith that was easy to have. It was based on what they could see. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And you know what they were able to see? They were able to see the fire come down, and it was easy. But there is a faith that is difficult to understand, and it's based on what you cannot see. And that faith to believe those things and act on them is the fruit of the Spirit. That is a supernatural faith. That's a faith that only comes from God. The Bible talks about the Comforter in John 16. He said, when I come, he'll come and he'll teach you all things. And he said he'll convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Now, you may theoretically know in your head that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you and you're going to stand before God in judgment, but it takes the Holy Spirit of God to show you that you are lost and you are no good and you're on your way to hell and you need the Lord Jesus Christ and you have to have faith in him. That is the faith that the Spirit of God gives you. And now here's one thing. There's three elements to faith. Most writers agree on this. There's three elements to faith. Okay? So the first element to faith is knowledge. You cannot believe in what you do not know. Do you believe in that thing that you've never heard of? Well, no. You've never heard of it. You can't believe in what you do not know. So there's knowledge. There's assent or acceptance of that knowledge. And then the writers had another weird word for this thing, and I didn't understand it, so I just didn't write it down or remember it. But the third element is action, when you act upon that knowledge. So imagine it like this. Say there's a three-story building, and it's on fire, and there's a little girl that's looking out the window, and the bottom two stories on fire. She can't escape by going out the window. And she looks out the window, and she can't jump, because if she jumps, she will die. And a strong man comes and stretches out his hand, and he says, "Jump, and I will catch you." Now, there is an element of faith that knows that he's there, has knowledge of that. There's another element of faith that she trusts that he'll do what he says, and he'll catch her and has the ability to do that, but it is not faith until you jump. It's not faith until you jump. It's one thing to believe Jesus died for you in your head. It's one thing to believe you're a sinner, but it's another thing to jump out of the burning fire of your own self-righteousness and into the arms of Christ and count on him and him alone for salvation. You know, when I first was thinking about getting saved, I wanted to hedge my bets. I wanted to trust in Christ, but in case that didn't work out, I wanted to do all these other things. So, you got to hedge your bet, right? But that's not faith. The only way to have faith is trust in Christ and him alone for salvation. That's the only way. And the Holy Spirit enables us to do it. Let me illustrate what faith is. So, Brother James, come up here. Okay, you see this chair? You believe it can hold you up? Okay, sit in it. Is that faith? No. He can see it. He knows it'll hold him up. That's not faith. Now stand up, brother. Okay. Stand right in front of the chair. Okay, turn around. Okay, close your eyes. Okay, now open your eyes and look behind you. Turn around, look behind you. Okay, turn around. Okay, close your eyes. Now, brother, do you think that I tell you the truth most of the times? Well, he took a long time to answer that. Okay? And do you believe, keep your eyes closed, do you believe if I tell you the chair's behind you that I wouldn't lie to you? Okay. Now, Brother James, I want you to sit down. Now, did he have faith in the chair? No. He had faith in me. And that's what faith is. Thank you. You can go sit down, brother. That's what faith is. Our faith is in God. Okay? And there's some things that he tells us that we cannot understand and we do not believe. I mean, we can't wrap our minds around it. There's some things that we don't understand and we don't know, but you know what we do know? We do know God. We know that he's trustworthy. We know that we can count on him. We know that he would not lie to us. And therefore, if he said it, we believe it. We have faith in him. It said in this passage, we understand through faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, we can't understand that. But we do understand and believe it because God said it, and we believe it, and therefore it must be true because we believe in the Lord. We have faith in Him, and He would not lie to us. You cannot have faith. So now that we know what faith is, let me ask you this. How does faith work? Number two, how does faith work? And so let's look at how faith works. You see, we experience this natural world with our hands and our eyes and our tongue. We can taste things and we can smell things. We can touch things. We can feel things, right? You know how we experience the spiritual world? Through faith. So through faith, we can taste and see that the Lord is good. Through faith, we can hear from the Lord. Through faith, we can let Him speak to us. That's how we interface with the Lord in the spiritual world. It is through faith. So how does faith work? Well, number two, how does faith work? Well, the first way it works is, number one, it enables belief and understanding. Look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, can you explain that? You can't. You can't explain that. You couldn't explain that with an explaining machine. The only way we can understand it is through faith. We understand and we have faith in God, and He said, I created the world, and I created it out of nothing, and I created it in 7 days, and I did it all. And through faith, we understand that it was framed by the Word of God. Because we believe in God, we believe what He said, and it leads to understanding of things we cannot understand. That would trouble us. Listen, if you don't believe in God and you don't know how this world came about, all you have is questions that cannot be answered, and they can never be answered without faith. Without faith, you just have trouble and questions. But now that you have faith, you have an answer, you have belief, and you have peace. How did I get here? The Lord made me. The Lord made the earth. He put me here, and it's miraculous, and it happened through the Word of God. And I believe Him, and He said that's how He did it, and I believe Him. So faith enables belief. Number two, faith enables service. Look at verse 1. It says, faith is the substance. That's what makes us jump. Of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by what? Faith. The elders obtained a good report. What was the evidence of their faith? Well, here's the evidence of their faith. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. And for all you KJV Bible believers, let me just throw this out there. The translation was better than the original. Enoch was translated, right? And every time you find that word, what happens after is better, okay? You can read the Bible you have in your lap, right? It exists. The originals no longer exist. And you can't read them. By faith, Enoch was translated. And then he says in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things is not seen as yet, moved with fear, and he prepared. And you know what you will notice here as you look down through this passage is that every time it says by faith, it's followed by an action verb. You know what their faith enabled them to do? Faith was the evidence of things not seen. You know how that faith was evidenced? By action. Faith enabled them to serve the Lord. The evidence of their faith was what they did. You get the picture. It has been said what a man accomplishes, generally speaking, is based on what he believes. These all men all believed in God, and they believed that God told them to do something, and they did it. What do you believe? You will never accomplish anything for God without faith in Him and without faith in what He told you to do. And this is what God wants me to do. You know why people accomplish more in the physical realm than in the spiritual realm? Because they believe in what they see, and they don't have faith in what they cannot see. Do you believe the Lord's coming back? Do you believe he wants us to be doing certain things when he came back because he said that? Do you believe that your neighbors will not go to heaven unless they receive Christ in your family members? Then where's your ark? Where's the action? Where is the evidence of your faith? Faith is evidenced by action. Look at James chapter 2 and verse 17. I kind of wondered about this verse, and then when I was studying this, I put these things together. The Lord put them together for me. In James chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. There's no evidence. It's the substance, and if there's substance there, there's going to be evidence. Yet a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my work. How was their faith evidenced? By what they did for the Lord. They believed that it was going to flood, so he built an ark. They believed that God wanted a sacrifice, so he sacrificed it. Abraham believed God told him to go, so he went. If you have faith, it will be evident in your life, and it will enable you to do something for a God that you cannot see in a way that people can see. Why does Brother Cormican get up here and lead the singing? Is it because he wants people to see him? And no. He believes that there's a God in heaven, and that God loves worship, and he wants people to sing to him, and he believes that it's a good thing for the congregation together lift our voices in unison and worship God. That's why he does it. That's the evidence of his faith. Why did Brother Blake get up here and he read the scripture and he prayed that God would bless the sermon, the reading of the scripture? Is he up here making a show, talking to himself? The evidence of the fact that he believes in God, it's evidence in what he did. Why, Brother Hugo, 35 years growing up on the west side of San Antonio, where the statistic, 60% of the population has felonies, okay? And he grew up in a culture that was completely different of what you see here. And after 35 years of being a part of that culture and living in that culture, he's here today serving the Lord in this church, giving, serving, a part of the church, supporting the church. What is that? That's the evidence that there's faith and he believes in the Lord. You know what faith does? It enables us to serve the Lord. Let me ask you, are you serving the Lord? No? Well, where is your faith? It's a faith problem. You're not believing in God that he wants you to do something. He wants you to build an ark. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Where's your faith? It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it will enable you and motivate you to start serving this wonderful Savior that you believe in. And if it doesn't motivate you and move you to action, something is drastically wrong. Look, man's faith has to be propped up. It has to be argued with and propped up and reasoned with by man's reasoning. The fruit of the Spirit comes from within, and if you don't have it, it's because you squash it down and you ignore it and you focus on other things. God's continually producing this fruit in your life. He's continually saying, why don't you do this for me? Why don't you do this? That the Lord is doing this, and he's strengthening you. You know, faith is it's kind of like oxygen. It's not like a house. You buy a house, and you don't need another house. You have a house, okay? Faith is like oxygen. You know, I can't store up oxygen. I mean, I can breathe in, and sometimes I can, breathe up, and then I can hold my breath for a little bit longer. But I have to have oxygen. I will run out of it. Faith is something that it's a well in you. It's springing up. The Spirit is producing it. And when you're exercising, you need more oxygen. And when you're going through difficult things, you need more faith. You know what the disciples said? Increase our faith. You know what the Bible says? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. D.L. Moody said, I used to read my Bible, shut it, and ask God for faith. And then I read, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I open my Bible and study it, and with it open, I ask God for faith. Get to His Word. Say, Lord, teach me. This is what I'm battling. Life is too short not to serve the Lord. Life is too short not to sacrifice like Abel, build an ark like Noah, go where God told you like Abraham, and it's all done by faith. What is God calling you to do? The Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, because they're temporal or temporary, and the things that are not seen are eternal. What you cannot see is more real than what you can see. But the reason people accomplish more on earth than in the spiritual realm is because it's always focused on what they can see. Helen Keller said this, and she was blind, and she says, it gives me a deep comforting sense to know that the things that are seen are temporal things, and the things that are not seen are eternal. It comes from a blind person. Faith is a consistent and conscious awareness of what you cannot see with your physical eye. It's a constant awareness of the judgment of the Lord, of heaven, of eternity. Just, you know, it says here, these all in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off. And then it says, and they were persuaded of them, of the promises that they couldn't see. And they embraced them, the promises that they could not see, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're strangers here. We're pilgrims here. We believe in what we can't see. And it says, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And look at this. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know why you've returned? You've been thinking about the earth and the country that you came from. And that's where you're thinking about all the time. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He hath prepared for them a city. Do you believe that? Do you believe God's prepared for you a city? That there's promises that you cannot see. Have you embraced them? Have you confessed that you're a stranger and a pilgrim here on earth and you seek something better? You see, faith enables service. Faith is your estimation of God's ability. And here's the third way that how faith works in our life. So belief and service, and this will be fast, it enables us to please the Lord. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible. Look at that. Do you have faith in Him? Do you believe in Him? Do you trust His Word? Ask yourself that question. Do I believe in Him? Do I believe in what He said? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The chief end of man is to glorify the Lord and enjoy His presence forever. And without faith, you cannot do it. He didn't say it will be more difficult. He didn't say it was going to take more work. He said it would be impossible. How can you fulfill your purpose here on earth and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if you don't have faith? You know what the Lord said? He said, when He comes, will He find faith on earth? When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on earth? He was asking that question. You know what He will find? He'll find many that say unto Me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name, and in Your name do many wonderful works, and in Your name cast out devils? And you know what He'll say? I don't even know You. It wasn't pleasing. Their good works were not pleasing to God because they had no faith. Listen, if you're here today and you're not saved, your good works are sin. That's shocking, isn't it? Listen to this next part. Don't turn me off. If you're not saved, your good works are sin. You know why? Because you're trying to bribe a just God. You're trying to say, if I do this for You, then You let me into heaven. God wants us to have wonderful works. He wants us to have good works, but they have to come from faith in God. You can't please Him without faith. How are you going to please a God you don't even know if He exists? How are you going to pray to a God you don't even know is real? Lord, I just feel like I'm talking to myself. I just feel like I have an imaginary friend. If you don't spend time in the Word of God, you'll start thinking these thoughts. The devil will throw these thoughts at you. And you've got to get back in there, and you've got to have the Lord increase your faith, strengthen your faith. We want to please God. We have to know that He's real. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If I talk to Him, He'll hear me. If I seek Him, I'll find Him. I know what He wants me to do. I know what He expects. I know that He loves me. He cares about me. He knows what's going on in my life. He said, you can't please a God you don't know. Get to know Him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your soul. These men in this chapter pleased God because they had faith in Him, and they trusted more in what they could not see than what they could see. What they could not, what they heard from heaven more than those around them and what they were saying. Do you have a faith that enables you to please God? Number four. And this is the last aspect of faith that I'm going to talk about today. So how does faith work? It enables belief. It enables service. It enables us to please the Lord. And then look at this. It enables us to endure difficulty. Now look at verse 13. These all died in faith. And this is very important, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them. And they embraced them, but they never got them here on earth. They died in faith, not having received. God said to Abraham, I'll give you a country. He died without the country. But he didn't really. He received it through his seed. He received it. Why is this important? You know what the lost people say? You know, God promises you this. Where's God when you're going through this? We all love Sister Myra. She's in heaven now, right? We love Brother Will. We got on our knees and we prayed for healing. We prayed the promises of God. We listened to the testimony. She died in faith, not receiving Him, but she did receive Him, just on the other side. You know what the lost world says? Where's God? I read the book Night. How many of you read the book Night by Elie Wiesel? Man, that book is about a Jewish boy that went through the Holocaust. And you know where he lost his faith? In the Holocaust. He said when they were taking people alive and throwing them into the fire, he said, those flames quenched my faith. He said, when I saw them burn, I said, where's God? There's a story in that book about a young Jewish boy that is being hanged, and everybody loved him, and he had the face of an angel. And they're up there, and they're hanging him for something that's just stupid, and he's walking by, and they would hang him, and they would make you this far walk by those faces and look into their face, and they'd beat you if you didn't look into them. And as they were about ready to flip that switch and drop the platform down, Elie Wiesel said, the guy behind him said, where is God? Where is God when His children are hanging? And there was a French writer that helped get the book published that at the end of that essay said, when those people were saying, "Where is God?" He says, "I'm here on the cross, paying for the sins of the world." And he said, without the cross, and without understanding the death of Christ, you'll never be able to understand and justify and think about that pain and suffering that's going on. But where is God? He's there dying. He's there paying for the sins of the world, making a way. And if you don't understand and you don't have faith, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Look, we're promised health. We might not receive it here on earth. If you're looking to receive everything here on earth, that's not what faith is about. It's about a better country, a heavenly country. It's about, I don't care what this cancer does, this fire, this jail, this getting fired. God has promised me something. The three Hebrew children, they're standing in front of the fire, and the king says, if you don't bow down and worship this image, I'll cast you into that fire. They could smell the smoke. They could feel the heat. They could see the flames. They could see the king. But they saw something the king couldn't see. They saw a God, and they said, you know, we're not careful to answer you. God can save us from the fire, or he can save us on the other side of the fire. Well, we don't care. We have the promises of God, and that helps us to endure difficulties. Oh, it enables us to do those. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Boy, this life is a place of sorrow and heartache and death and trying and testing of our faith. And many of our promises we're not going to receive here on earth. But we'll die in faith, having seen them afar off. And we'll die in faith and we'll receive them on the other side. Faith enabled them. You know, faith thrives when you cannot see and you do not know. Faith thrives when you cannot see and you do not know. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we endure it. But we don't like it. Can I tell you that? We don't like that. We like what we can see. Because it's comfortable. It's an easy win. We like when we pray for a raise and get a raise, like Brother Phil did, right? We like when we have a need and pray for healing, and there's healing. Oh, we love that. But when there's not that, you know what helps you? Faith. Faith gets you through it. Here's an example. It's not always fun to be a pastor, but it is fun to be a pastor when there's visitors every week and people are joining every month. And the budget is growing and needs are being met. And there's the resources there to do what God's told us to do. That's fun. It really is. It's a blessing. But you know what's not fun? Hey, we have some families moving, and we're going to really miss them because it's going to create a big need. And there was a lot of things that were here that, well, that's not fun. And the Lord, I mean, just think about it. You remember AJ? Wasn't he a blessing? You remember his Christmas coat? He was a blessing to my kids. I mean, we love Brother AJ. And then God takes him. And then he takes Brother Will, and then takes people. I got a call today from a man that's here this morning. His name is Brother Aaron Avalas. And this man, I heard that he encourages me. He doesn't even know this. Okay? He doesn't know I'm going to say this morning. But he encourages me. He's a missionary son. He loves the Lord. He's kind. He's respectful. And he just encourages me and Pastor Ashton so much. He encourages my family. And And I think about my son. If God calls him to another church sometime, if he moves somewhere, wherever, I pray that he's a blessing to that pastor like this man is to me. And I'm preparing this sermon, and he calls me and he says, you know, my contract here is ending, and I'm going to have to go back to Mexico until February, which is not a long time. But I said, why, Lord? We're about to start Sunday night. No one else is going to come but him. Why now? You know what the Lord said? Faith. Faith. And then he got a call today and he found a job here. So praise the Lord. But you know what? I don't know what you're going through. There was a lady that wrote a book that I read, Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. And she said that she used to run marathons, and when she's at the end and she's puking, she's throwing up, and her lungs are on fire, and she doesn't feel like she can go another step. Her coach used to say, this might be the best moment of your life. And I don't know, I really don't know what you're facing. Maybe it's a marriage difficulty. Boy, in my first marriage, I struggled sometimes. Man. And you know what God showed me one day? This is one of the best moments of your life because it allows your faith to grow. My oldest son is here, Bez, and I got permission to say this, but man, after my first wife passed away, my late wife, he was so hurt. And it was really dark time in our life, and he didn't really have much to live for. He said, I don't even want to be here, and that's not normal for a child that age. And we couldn't have a good relationship because he was so broken, and I would pray and for healing and that God would minister to him and do something, and it looked like nothing would ever happen, and God began to heal him. And we're not in a dark place anymore. We have a great relationship, and God has healed him, and man, God's done things in our life and in our family through that dark thing that I never would have thought possible. You know what I recognized? That dark place was one of the best moments of my life. And I don't know what you're facing. Financial, relationship, health, children. But you know what faith allows us to do? Endure difficulty. To die in faith, not having received the promises. You know, I'm almost done, but in the Bible, there's the Lord's teaching his disciples about faith, and he says this, if somebody does something against you, go and forgive them. And the disciples are like, well, how long does this need to go on? Seven times? I mean, when is it, like, enough? I mean, what if they do it seven times in a day? No, 70 times seven. And you know what they said? Increase our faith. That doesn't make any sense. And then later on, and it's kind of weird why that verse is stuck there, and then later on he talks about which of you having a servant, and you go out and work, and you come back and say, go do whatever you need to do, but you'll say to him, hey, gird yourself and serve me, and after I've eaten, then you can go do what you need to do. He said, when you've done what you're supposed to do, say we're unreasonable servants, and we've done that which is our duty to do. So what is the lesson? Faith is doing what you're told when you don't understand because the one that tells you knows better. We can't see. And I want to encourage you with this. If you have this view of life, the worldview of faith, worldview is stronger than experiences. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have a son, and he goes off and he does a lot of bad things, and you're thinking, well, I'm just going to let him go, and maybe the school of hard knocks will teach him a lesson, and he'll come to himself, and then he'll come back, and everything will be okay. That's what we think. But if that child has the worldview that God hates me, and that's why all these bad things are happening, then everything that happens to him bad, he'll be like, yep, that's why this is happening, because God hates me. And it will reinforce his worldview. Why? Because worldview is stronger than experience. Okay? And you know what God has given us through faith? All things work together for good to them that love God, and it goes from being a Christian cliche to the throb, the heartbeat of our life. It's the worldview of faith. No matter what happens, even if it's my own fault, even if I deserve it, even if I die, I have the promise of God, whether in this life or to come, I will die in faith, and I'll eventually receive the promise, whether here or not. That's what faith does. And you know the great part of this is? We don't have to conjure it up. We don't have to build it up. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it will increase in your life through obedience to Him. It's not something you have to bring yourself to. It's something you have to get out of the way and let the Lord do. Let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord comfort you in those difficulties, and He will tell you. If I can have the musicians come out. So how is your faith? How is your faith? The fruit of the Spirit is faith. How much do you believe in God? Has it enabled you to believe? Has it enabled you to serve? Has it enabled you to please the Lord and endure difficulty? And we'll stop with this question from Jesus. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Now let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and speak to the Lord for a few minutes. And why don't you just take a moment and talk to the Lord about what He talked to you about?